Thank you so much. Okay, final session. Is that an R moment? Can I get less? Okay, I've got a yes. Come on, get to go home. Come on, get to get normal sleeping going on. Okay, so all the way through this weekend, we've been obviously talking about church. Why church? Why church is important? And what role you get to play particularly. That's the whole premise of what we've been talking about. And for this last one today, so that's one of the weekend, we're going to talk a little bit about that whole subject of kind of what we've been introduced to there, outreach, and what outreach is and what it's about and what kind of role that not just we get to play, but I'm going to argue that we should be playing as kind of followers of Jesus. So we've been going out through Acts 2 the whole way through this weekend, and the final bit we're talking about is the last bit of the scripture, Acts 2:47, which says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved." Okay, so remember, I've told this quite a bit, but this is the early church, the first church, and throughout their gatherings and their meetings together, they were seeing people coming to know Jesus. They were seeing people getting saved. They were seeing new people coming into their community, into their fellowship. I wholeheartedly believe the best news that anybody could ever know or receive is to hear that there's a God who loves them, that they've got a chance for eternal salvation. And it's called the good news for a reason, because it's exactly that. It's good news. And we should be, and this message is kind of, I'm speaking to myself as well, because this is something that I'm still journeying with in my own life. But we should be unashamedly sharing our faith, not just always through word, but through word, through action, and through deed. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning and as to kind of what that looks like. The first question is always a good question. Why do I need to share my faith? Jamie, you're telling me I need to do this, but why do I need to share my faith? I've had this conversation often, and people will say to me, isn't it the responsibility of my kind of church leader? Isn't it the responsibility of my youth leader, of my parents, of anybody but me to share the good news of Jesus? And it is, of course, the responsibility of those people, but it is the responsibility of every Christian anywhere to be doing that. And I'll tell you why. And this is what Jesus had to say on this whole subject. So in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, it says the following. It says, "Therefore go," this is what Jesus said, "therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Notice in there it doesn't say, "therefore church leaders go, therefore youth leaders go, therefore adults go." It doesn't say any of that stuff. It talks to the church, to you and I. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." And I truly believe that this is a call for every single person who would call himself a follower of Jesus. This is the call that we have on our lives. These were the last, in the Gospels, last recorded words that Jesus said before he ascended back up to heaven. Now, I have been in the fortunate position of never having to kind of be sat with somebody before they're about to kind of leave this earth. But I can imagine in those moments, they're not talking about general day-to-day stuff. They're not talking about, oh, you need to do the washing up when you get home, or make sure you take the dog for a walk. They give you messages they want to remember. They tell you things that they want you to take into your life. They speak things over you which are important. And this was important. This was the last thing that Jesus said, and these were important words that he wanted you and I, as followers of him, to remember. Not just remember, but to live out and to take into our day-to-day life. Now, for a moment, I want you to just think about your friends and your family, particularly your friends and your family who don't know Jesus. Okay, so do that for a moment for me. Just think about those people who are in your schools. Maybe it's one of your parents. Maybe it's another family member who don't know Jesus. Think about it for a moment. Now, if they're your family and you love them, and if they're your friends and you care about them, we can all agree we wouldn't want any harm to come to them, yeah? We can all agree that together today. And we can all agree that we want the best for those people, don't we? We want them to to thrive and to flourish and to do the best in life. That's something that we all want for the people that we love and care about. And of course this is true, but the reality of the gospel, and if we believe the gospel for what it says and for what is in there, then there's this four-letter word, which we need to think about today. And I think is the reality for us as believers. And we don't talk about this word very often, actually, I find. But that is the word hell. It's something that we know about, don't we? And we hear about. But I find it quite ironic. We don't talk about it very often in church. It's something that we don't kind of like to talk about. It makes people feel a little bit awkward, a little bit anxious, a little bit like, man, I don't like to talk about this. But when I read my Bible, it's quite clear. It's quite clear, and there's a couple of destinations for us, kind of beyond this earth. As followers of Jesus, I believe that if you've confessed and asked Jesus into your life, that our eternal destination is with Him in heaven. But I also believe, and this is what I believe, kind of my interpretation of the Bible. If you don't, the eternal destination is an eternity in hell. And actually, that's quite a scary thing when we think about it. And how can we kind of like really, have these horrible connotations and perceptions of what it may look like. But the reality of it is, it's an eternity away from your creator, away from where you've been kind of God ordained to be. That's the reality of it. So it's just like, when I think about it, and again, this is kind of my interpretation, but it's just this nothingness, this void, this emptiness. It's just this kind of place where, yeah. It's quite a scary thing, actually, when I think about it in reality. Now, I can talk to people about football for hours. Like, it's something that I can have a conversation really easy with. But I can talk to you about kind of things that I'm passionate about on the television, or I can talk to you about music, or I can talk to you about a whole array of different things quite happily and quite easy for a long time. And I do that often with people that I come into contact with on a day-to-day basis. When it comes to talking about my faith, honestly, particularly with people who don't know Jesus, I can find it difficult. I can often shy away from those moments. I can often kind of like just want to revert to talking about football. I just want to revert to talking about that kind of stuff. And as good as those things are, they don't make eternity, they don't make a big difference, do they? Like, football's just a game. It's just a piece of leather with a bit of air in it, which is, you know, beautiful. But eternally, it makes a difference to my life or anyone else's life. And what I'm trying to say is that I think the balance is wrong in my life. Sometimes I can talk about things which, you know, on the face of it are great, but actually don't really mean anything long term. And the things that I'm really passionate about, things that I really believe in, I can often shy away from and not talk about them. And honestly, I sometimes get a bit embarrassed. I get a bit scared. I wonder about their reaction. I wonder about how they're gonna kind of take me and what they're gonna say to me when I have those conversations. And especially as I've got a bit older, particularly as I was a teenager in my young adult years, it was something I really struggled with. I think as I get a bit older, I just care a bit less now. I don't really care what people think about me as much now. But it still takes time. Definitely takes time. We need to remember, and this is so important. It is our responsibility to tell people about Jesus. The whole premise, I'm reading this really good book at the minute, it's called Scattered Servants, and it's talking all about that when we do church, when we come to church, that isn't it. That it's not about our Sunday expression or our Friday expression, and that's it. What that should do is that should take us to a place where we're ready to go out into the world, into our schools, into our colleges, into our workplaces, and be representative of Jesus in those places. It's not kind of just a holy huddle, a holy gathering, and that's it, and we go into the rest of our weeks, and it doesn't affect us. That's what it shouldn't be anyway, from what I understand. It should be a place where we come together, we celebrate, we worship together, and we get sent out into the world to do the stuff of the world. To live out our faith in the world. Okay, so again, I want you to, for a moment now, all of you are either in school or college or sixth form. Am I right in saying that? Give me a thumbs up if that's where we're at. Okay. Think about your school or your college or sixth form, okay? And I know it's the weekend and you're kind of trying to come away from it, but think about your school or college or sixth form. Now, think about in that school that what you know of, or your college or sixth form, what you know of, how many Christians would be in that school. So it might be that, from what you know of, there may be like, maybe let's say there's 20, 30 or so. There might be a good, a decent number in that school. It might be that there might be just kind of a real small handful that you know of in your school. Or it might be that, as far as you're aware, you are the only one in your school or your college. You're the only one that you know of who follows Jesus. Or maybe you think it even closer in amongst your friendship group that you hang out with at school or college. You may be the only one, very easy, you might be the only one in that friendship group who knows Jesus. You've got a huge mission field there. Like, you've got a whole array of people who don't know Jesus. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this morning. If you are a follower of Jesus, that's your mission field, and it's your responsibility to be sharing Jesus through, not, and again, it doesn't always have to be through word. That is a way we can do it, of course, but through other things, which I'll talk about in a moment. Everybody loves good news, don't they? Nobody says, "I've got some good news," and they tell them good news, and it's like, "Oh, that wasn't very good, was it? I don't like that." Everybody loves to hear good news. When we hear of people getting engaged or getting pregnant or those kind of things, normally, pretty much always, that people are really happy and really excited about those things. And I believe that the best news, like I said previously, the best news that anybody could ever hear is the gospel. Is the gospel. And it's our, it's, and what we, the important thing to think about this morning is that it's our responsibility that God has given us to be sharing that thing. Okay, we're going to do it slightly different this morning, or for this last session. Now, normally, you've been used to kind of breaking up and having an extended time of discussion groups. We're going to do it where we break three different stages throughout this session. We're going to do it shorter times. So we're just staying here. We won't go out up there because it'd be too much bringing you in, bringing you out. So, like you were previously, you were in your kind of three groups when you did that that game just then. Can you get back into those groups and see little circles, okay? And we've got some discussion questions we're going to go over together, okay? All related to this whole subject. And we're going to be reasonably quick with each one. Okay, and we've got two questions for this little section. Okay, so the first question is, have you ever shared your faith with somebody? How did it go? Did you feel scared, embarrassed, good about doing it, etc.? And the second question is, does it cause you to want to share your faith when you think about the reality of hell? Okay? So if we could do that, we're going to literally have three, 4 minutes tops to go through both those questions. Go. Discussions into a close. That'd be really cool. And if you can kind of, I'm not going to worry about beginning to spin back around so you can see me. And might need you guys on the floor to be able to sit on the chairs. That'd be really helpful. Just the chairs in the back row. That'd be super helpful. But I won't. Let's just stay in these groups. We'll be coming back into them anyway. So let's not move too much. Okay. So be really cool just to get really brief. Anybody who would feel like they'd be happy to share, particularly. So that first question. So the question was: Have you ever shared your faith with somebody? How did it go? Did you feel embarrassed, scared, etc., etc.? Anybody want to talk into that? Okay, Matt.
I literally just said this. So I've got at college, my best friend is like this really stubborn atheist. So like whenever I try and explain like Christianity, he's always like, "Well, God's not real, mate." No. He always comes up with that point and he goes, he believes more in, what's that called? Trying to think of that theory. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. And he believes in that more and he brings up that point and against it. But I'm trying to get up to the point where I can actually go, turn around and say, "Can I try and pray for you?" And I think God wants to take us into that like deep end plunge and wants us to like put ourselves out there more because it's like what we're called to do and it's something that we don't do and it's vital that we do because he wants us to spread the message. And
So summary is that you've got a friend who you try and talk to, but like they're a bit resistant. Yeah. Anybody else who has that, who has a friend they're trying to talk to, and they're a bit resistant when you're trying to talk to them? Yeah. I know people exactly the same as well. Yeah. Actually, I think in that moment, I think I don't mean it's about kind of like ramming it down their throat. And I'll talk to this a bit about a minute about how we share our faith, but like it's persisting that person, loving that person. You never know what kind of situations may come up where you get an opportunity to pray for them. So fantastic. Okay. Anybody else want to share just very briefly?
My physics group at school, there's four of us who sit in a row. Furthest left is a seat kid. Then there's me. Then there's two of the kids who only on Friday I found out were Christian. So the seat kid goes, I can't get my head around the idea of a Christian youth group. I said, it's all right. It's not a bad idea. It works a lot better than you'd expect. and he goes, oh, okay. And then the two kids on my right, they're like, oh, we're Christian. Christian youth groups are actually all right. There's a lot of good stuff that happens. And it's interesting because I thought I was the only Christian in that youth group, in that physics group. But the kids sitting next to me turned out to be Christian. We had quite an interesting conversation about differences between youth groups and what we have in commonalities, because you've got me, then the kid next to me is an evangelist, and the kid next to her, he's a Catholic. So we've got quite a nice, and we have a lot of jokes now about differences between different denominations. And I have a running joke with a Muslim friend where he constantly invites me to Jummah, and I constantly invite him to YF. It's that light-hearted approach which really gets me talking, which I really love.
Fantastic. Okay, we'll leave that there. We'll come on to the next section. So, okay. So again, we're going to spin our chairs around. I'm going to talk in a little bit, and then we're going to have another discussion in a second. So, the next bit is okay. So hopefully we've established it's important to share our faith. Like for me, it's such an important thing to be sharing our faith, but the question I'm asking there is, well, how do I do that? That's great, Jamie. Thank you for telling me that. But how on earth do I do that? Okay, quick, and this is super quick group discussion, or maybe even just with like the two or three people around you. What do you think is the best way of telling people about Jesus? Okay, so real quickly, just do it with two or three people next to you. You don't need to do it in a big group, okay? What do you think is the best way of telling people about Jesus? You've literally got a minute and a half. Go. Those little discussions in. Throw some things out at me. What did we say? What are the best ways of telling people about Jesus? Throw stuff out at me. Youth group, okay. Youth group. Face-to-face conversations. Yeah, great, okay. Actions, give me a bit more. What do you mean? Love that, fantastic. Anything else? Again, what do you mean by that? Simplify that for me. Yeah, big time. Yeah. Yeah, love that, mate. Really good. Great. Anyone else had anything different? Keep it light. Good man. Don't propose on the first date, that's what they say. Yeah, okay. Yeah, good, that's really good. anything else? It's great. I think, I love that. I'd completely echo all those things. And you know what, another thing I think we need to do is be real. Like, be real. Man, there's no, I'm not yet met, I don't think I ever will meet, until I meet Jesus, a perfect person, a perfect Christian. And actually, that's okay, because we're none of us are perfect. None of us are hopefully claiming to be perfect. I'm certainly not, but I know a perfect perfect Savior who's helping me to in my day-to-day life. And that's kind of, but just being real in that and not kind of like, I totally echo what Ethan was saying, like, don't talk in language I don't understand. Like, don't, there's loads of phrases that I know we get chucked around church, and I'm like, that's fantastic, I know what that is, but like, my mate who's never been in church before, he's like, what on earth are you talking about? What is the blood of the lamb? Why was he slain? That kind of stuff, people just don't get it. So try and talk to them like on a level, I suppose, what I'm trying to say. So one way that I would argue, and I think it was said, you said by example, did you say? Actions, yeah, okay. So what I would say is, the way our actions and the way that our example is can speak to somebody as much, if not more, than the way that we talk to people. That, it's that whole, and you'd have heard it a million times as a child, your actions speak louder than words. And actually, we can talk till we're blue in the face about something, but if we're not living that thing out and we're not exemplifying that through our life, through our actions, then it doesn't make a blind bit of difference. And do you remember yesterday we talked about this verse? 1 Timothy 4:12. Okay, and I love this verse. We'll be talking through this actually now. Yesterday we were talking about teaching, but I'll reflect in how we can talk this through about kind of sharing our faith. So, again, the scripture is, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now, I know that says set an example for the believers, but I also believe that we can set an example for unbelievers in the way that we do these things. So the first one is in speech. So do you know what? We were talking, when you were kind of reflecting generally, who said, it was, you said, what did you say? Keeping it light. Well done. That's what you said, yeah. You said keeping it light. And actually, I think we have to ask the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom about when to speak. Because I think there's a time to speak, I really do. But I don't think it's always necessary straight away. It's that whole don't go too hard too soon kind of thing, because you can put people off massively. I think we should be speaking about our faith, but like, it can be like in the kind of a conversation. You know, probably a lot of you will get asked this weekend, you know, what did you get up to this weekend? Tell them what you've done, where you've been, what's been happening. Tell them about the fun you've had, the campfire and all that kind of stuff. But also, some of the stuff that maybe, you know, what the context of this group is, what it's about. Tell them through the way you do that. In life, another way we can do that is through the way that we live our life. And I really believe that we are called to live differently to the way that the rest of the world lives. When we look at Jesus, Jesus caused offense amongst the people around him because he lived differently. He wasn't going out to cause offense for offense sake, but people didn't like that he was helping the lowest in society. People didn't like that he was associating himself with people who he shouldn't be associating himself with. And how can we do that today? Well, we can live differently. We can forgive people. We can forgive people even if they're not necessarily asking for forgiveness. We can choose to forgive people. We can love people that we don't like. Love people who have wronged us. Love people who have done wrong things to us. We can be generous. Generosity is so countercultural today. We're not, as society, it's all about me, me, me. What can I keep? What can I get? How much can I get? And do you know what I think we should be as Christians? How much can we give? How much can we give? How much of our time, our money, our energy can we give to others? And what does that look like for us? Next one is in love. I talked about this, I think it was yesterday again, but finding ways that we can genuinely show love to people. So the example I've got here is actually, maybe you could find a way to help your friend in love without expecting anything in return. Just something because you want to bless them, just something because you want to help them, something because of what you've got inside you, you know that it's something you want to share. And you can do that through the way that you, through action, so kind of you can show love through that. In faith, we should never pretend that we've got everything sorted. But you know, I think what is one of the biggest things that speaks to people is when we're going through the tough stuff of life, when we're struggling, when we're down, when we've had something thrown at us which was just a real hard thing, when we respond with faith rather than fear. when we respond kind of through, rather than through our emotions and our insecurities, that we respond through the word and what the word says. That really speaks to people when they're like, why are you not falling apart right now? Why are you not angry? Why are you not all these kind of things? Because actually, do you know what? Yeah, we can be real. Yeah, it has upset me. Yeah, it has frustrated me. Yeah, I am feeling anger, but I choose to respond differently. I think we can really speak to people through the way that we live out our faith. And the last one is impurity. Now, I remember kind of being 16, 17, 18, and there was those moments where you get to those times where, like, I don't know if it's so common nowadays, I'm sure it is, but like kind of house parties are happening and everybody's getting, I was constantly getting invited to house parties where basically you just go to some person for some reason is stupid enough to let their home open to a whole load of teenagers and they just drink and destroy the house basically. That was kind of what was happening. It was great fun, of course it was. But I remember those moments, I made a conscious decision when I was like 17 that I wasn't going to touch a drop of alcohol until I was kind of 18, until I was officially legal. And I remember in those moments having loads of really good conversations. Now, I wasn't doing that for any other reason, though. I just felt like I felt like God had called me to do that. But I had so many conversations through that, just through, because people were like, why are you not kind of like falling off a sofa and vomiting up into, you know, my mum's plant or whatever they do in these kind of things? Why are you not doing that? I was just kind of like, actually, it just feels like this way that I feel like I need to be living my life. And it opened up loads of conversations. I wasn't going around with a big t-shirt saying, I'm not drinking, come and talk to me, or Jesus loves you. I was just being myself, just hanging out. But people noticed, well, because I was doing something different. And actually, I think we can do that. When I talk about purity, I'm talking about how do we live out a life of purity? So how do we try and get to a place where we don't do what the world does? You know, as Christians, there's a few things that we're called to do, which are super countercultural. To wait to have sex until marriage is so countercultural, and it opens up loads of conversations. Not to be the way that we speak, the way that we do stuff, it just begins to cause a conversation. And rather than me going around or us going around having to speak, the way that we live our life speaks for us, and hopefully begins to have loads of questions thrown at us. When you live differently, when you do things which are different to what everybody else is seemingly doing, people begin to take notice. People ask questions, and they're kind of like, what is it that's different about you? Why do you do this? And some people find us weird, and that's okay. That's okay. Because you know, it talks about in the Bible that the gospel is offensive to those people who don't understand it. The gospel is foolishness to the world, and that's okay, because I believe that I can be a fool for Jesus, and that's absolutely okay, as long as we're not like going around just kind of on purpose trying to cause offense. That's quite a different thing. Another important thing we need to remember is when we're kind of sharing our faith, is being ready to respond to questions. Now, I don't know if you ever remember those times in school, okay, or maybe it still happens to you now, when your teacher's talking and you are not paying a blind bit of notice. You're kind of thinking about anything else but what they're talking about, okay? It happens quite often, I'm sure. And there's those moments where the teacher does that dreaded thing and asks you, what was I just saying? Or ask you a question about that subject. And in that moment, you've got one or two choices. Just try and answer it, or just kind of like faint and, you know, kind of fake your own death in that moment. Normally, it's the less extreme one is better. But in those moments, I remember, though, when it happened to me, you just feel like, man, I just want to kind of be swallowed up right now, and because I just wasn't paying attention whatsoever. And that can happen quite often, can't it, when we're not paying attention. Now, when it comes to this whole thing of faith, it's important. We're not going to have every single answer, and that's okay. You're not going to have every single deep, theological, philosophical answer to life. That's okay. But what is important that we're ready and prepared. Now, there's a scripture in the Bible, 1 Peter 3:15, which says the following: but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. That means that we're ready and prepared. That means that we do read our Bible. That means that we do talk to other people about faith. That means that we try and as best as we can, because we're all apprentices, we're all learning, every single one of us. None of us as the adults in this room, none of us have arrived yet. We're all still learning. But we can get more and more like Jesus. We can learn more and more about him in our day-to-day life. And that the last bit of this verse, I think, is really important. Be prepared to give an answer, but do this with what? With anger and malice? With shouting and annoyance? With frustration? No. With gentleness and with respect. That we respect other people in their opinions, and we're gentle in our approach, but we can still share that. And I think people really respect. My experience of this is actually, not everyone's going to agree with you, and that's okay, but people will generally respect you if you're respectful back to them. It's kind of the way that life works, isn't it? Great. Okay, so we're going to do one more group discussion. This is a couple of questions together. So the question we've got here, the first one is, do you feel that your lifestyle, kind of that stuff we were talking about previously in 1 Timothy 4, reflects well that you follow Jesus? What things may need to change in order for this to look better? And then second question is, do you feel adequately prepared to speak to people if they were to ask you about your faith? What areas do you think you would struggle in? Okay, so I want to give you 5 minutes for those two questions. We've got one last little bit we want to do before we finish. So 5 minutes, back into your groups. Those two questions, go. Some really good stuff going on there. Some really good conversations. If the guys on the floor could just jump back onto the chairs for me, that'd be really helpful, just so I can see you. Make sure you don't fall asleep. Not you would, of course. You've all had adequate sleep this weekend, haven't you? You've got your 8 hours a night, of course. I'm going to just really quickly, I'd love to hear, the first one maybe is a bit more of a personal question, so we won't share that in the big group. But anybody got, particularly number two, do you feel adequately prepared to speak to people if they were to ask you about your faith? Why are you struggling? Anybody got any reflections on that as you were sharing anything you'd want to share to the wider group? Yeah.
Yeah. If you're struggling in multiple areas, then you can fall back on actually speak louder than words. If you can't quite convey the peace of God to people using words, if you get involved in an argument over religion, you can just step back and go, here, this is the peace of God acting. I'm stepping back. I'm just going to let you realize that I've become peaceful and this is part of me being a Christian. It's little things like that. It's just, yeah. If you're struggling to speak, fall back on your actions. It's a great way to do it.
Anyone else wants to share briefly on that?
So it's a bit to do with what Matt was saying, but say like as humans generally we believe that we are like the like highest species, we're the most developed, we're the most advanced, we've got superiority over animals and organisms. And so as a Christian, if you're to try and convince people that there's actually something above that, or that actually we're equal to all those organisms and animals, that will take a lot of doing. And these sorts of conversations with, especially with friends, it's easier to keep things like bitterness out of it and for like have more patience and to think about it more. Because like we were saying in the group that even if you like say we talk about going to YF or saying we've already told them that we're going on this weekend away, and they do ask questions and we give an answer like, well, because we believe in God, that they're quite quick to shut it down and to say, but there isn't a God. And then so that's when you need that patience and to just take a breath and maybe flip that and ask them questions. So like, how can you be so certain? Like, have you taken the steps? Have you been curious enough? Have you gone to church and experienced these things and tried to gain a good enough understanding of our faith for you to make that conscious decision? Or is it through a lack of understanding or not being able to comprehend that there is a higher being or these sorts of things? And so it's just, I guess, praying for patience and for courage and, yeah, to just be able to take a breath and sort of deal with those questions and maybe yes. And then also that get told to like stand firm in our faith, and it's very important that we do that without the arrogance. Yeah.
Thanks for that. And going back to kind of that whole, I'm gonna finish in a minute because I'm conscious of time, but the whole like thing you were saying about proof of God, that's one of the biggest things that we get thrown at us, I find, often. How do you know that? A real silly example I've heard, that I heard when I was a young person, actually, I've used it a few times. Has anybody in this room, hands up, if you've ever been to Russia? Okay. You've read my example. Has anybody ever been to Algeria? No. Okay. Who believes Algeria is out there? Yeah? Okay. Why do you believe Algeria is there? It's on a map. Okay. People what? People claim they're from Algeria. But you don't know it's there, do you? It's on a map. What does that mean? I could have drawn it on a map and just like put it on there. But you've been there. You know it's there for a fact. You know it's there because you've been there, yeah? No, so how do you know it's there for a fact? Google Maps. Do you see my argument? See what I'm trying to say in this? Okay, that was Russia. You read my example, honestly. I forgive you. But often, like, and it's a silly one, isn't it? But, like, it's experience, isn't it? Like, you can't know, like, I know that I'm fairly sure, 99.9% sure that Algeria is there. I've got no reason to disbelieve it's there, but I've not been there. I've not witnessed it. The only way I know is because it's on a map, because it's on Google Maps, because people tell me, because people have, I don't know if anybody's been there, but Russia, for example, someone's been there has told me that it's there. But that's just personal experience, isn't it? And that's what our faith is. Our faith is a personal experience. I've experienced this thing personally. Just because you've not experienced it personally doesn't mean it's not there. It just means it's something that you need to maybe discover, or you need to go to Algeria and find it's there. That's the example that I've used a few times. And some people get a bit really annoyed at me. Like, I've done it before with that Russia. And they get to the end, I'm just like, I know it's there, just leave me alone. And they'll kind of walk away getting really angry. But it's just like getting people, it's just sometimes getting people thinking, like, their thing is God's not real. Well, and how can you prove to me God's not real? Oh, sorry, how can you prove to me God's real? Well, how can you prove to me God's not real? It's almost throwing it back on them a little bit and getting them thinking, but it can just wind people up as well at the same time. So you need to know your audience as well and know who you're with. Yeah, yeah. Okay, last little bit and then we're going to finish. So this is thinking about how do we effectively share our faith? What is the best way of doing it? Now, there's a few things in life that I do not like. Hands up, is anybody's with me? Is anybody not like the dentist? Is anybody with me? Yeah, I really dislike the dentist. I don't like people prodding things around in my mouth. Any drivers in the room? I'm trying to get better at this, but does anybody really dislike slow drivers? Yeah. Oh wow, look at this. Got mass appeal going on here this morning. And this one's a bit more controversial. Okay, this is going to divide the room, I'm sure. Okay. I do not like coffee. Anybody else with me? Come on. It's just a weird obsession. Everyone loves coffee. I'm like, it tastes weird, man. It's really strange. There's other things I don't like, which are maybe see, the coffee got onto the coffee debate and everyone's like talking about it now. It's going wild in here. Other things which are maybe a bit more universal. Racism and kind of prejudices general, I really don't like. And there's another thing that I struggle with. And I love these people. And they're beautiful people. I find it really hard. Is cheesy Christians. Okay, you know the kind of people. You know the kind of people. I'm sure there's none of you in this room. Now, I'm not a big fan of cheese anyway. I don't really like cheese as a rule. But like, nobody likes too much cheese, do they? Like, has anybody? There's got to be such a thing as too much cheese, hasn't there? Like, no. Too much coffee? No, I'm joking. But I really believe that actually sometimes when we're trying to share our faith, there is such a thing as too much cheese. Now, there's a couple of things that I think of. When I think of bad ways or not great ways of sharing our faith, these are the things that come to mind. So the first one is condemning billboards. So this one says, worship at our church or burn forever. Great way to get people into, that's in the middle of Birmingham somewhere, I'm sure, yeah. So that's one of them. The other one is, now, I'm not going to say every single person who does this is bad, but you do get certain examples of this. And that is your bad street preachers. Okay, so you get some people who I think do a good job of it, but others who kind of shout at you and wear stuff like kind of that whole "the end is nigh." Not convinced. Yeah, there are like, but yeah. So again, just not my preference. And the final one is, you'd have heard of these kind of places, but like crazy churches that just preach completely wrong messages. So there's this one in America that's really famous called the Westboro Baptist Church. And God hates you is always a nice thing to see when you're walking down the road going to school, isn't it? I'm gonna get off that quickly because I just don't like seeing that kind of stuff. But there's just some of the ways that people maybe have shared faith or could share faith. And it just makes me cringe and wince, and just because I just don't think it's the way that we are called to A, live our life out, or B, to share this message. We need to remember, in efforts to share Jesus, we try and take away as many barriers as possible, as many things that are going to cause people to ask questions or get annoyed or get frustrated, as many of those things as possible. You okay? 2 more minutes, really quick, yeah. So, the last thing I want to do this afternoon, or this morning, sorry, has just been getting us thinking about faith, outreach, how do we share this? Now, the very last thing, have all of you got a phone of some description? You've not got a phone, okay? If you have got a phone, right now, if you've got it on you, take out your phone and go to the Notes app or the something we can take a note. If you haven't got a phone, grab some paper and pen at the back. I want you to write this down. It's a piece of paper, yeah. Okay. And what, very simply, what I want you to do is at the top of this this note, is if your phone is dead, go and get a piece of paper and write it down. Okay. Write the words 3 friends. So number 3 and friends. Okay. What I want you to do, very, very simply, is I want you to write down the name of 3 friends who don't know Jesus, or it could be friends or family members, but for this activity, if you've got 3 friends, I've got 3 friends, people who maybe you're in contact with often, people who maybe you go to school with, people who, whoever, and if you want to keep it in code, write just their first name or write their initials, but something you will remember. Okay, so 3 friends of people who don't know Jesus. And what I want you to do, and we're going to really quickly, because I'm really conscious that we've run out of time, and we're going to pray over these people together, and I'll pray over them. But what I want you to do at the back of this weekend is commit, first and foremost, to pray for these people. So actively, on a daily basis, be praying for these people. Secondly, to be looking for opportunities to invite them to maybe YF on a Friday night, to invite them to a youth alpha or to church or whatever it may be. And the third thing is to look for opportunities to talk to them about Jesus, whatever that may be, in whatever form. Have we all wrote down at least 3 people? Anybody not wrote down 3 people? Okay. Keep that out in front of you, the note or the piece of paper. Just keep it out in front of you for a moment. I'm going to pray. As I'm praying, just picture these people in your mind. Be asking God to give you opportunities to share your faith with these people. Let's just take a moment together. Let's just be looking at that sheet, and I'm going to pray over, or that of your phone, and I'm going to pray over these things. Father God, I thank you so much for every single name that is written on those phones or on those pieces of paper. They're not just names, that they're people. They're people that the people in this group care about, have relationships with, are friends with. I pray, Lord God, that you will give them, in this next week, Lord God, you'll give them opportunities to be able to pray for them on their own, to be able to pray for them kind of in their own time. I'll give them an opportunity to be able to talk to them in some way, shape or form about their faith, about what it means to them. And Lord, I pray over the next kind of few weeks, next few months, that you will give them more and more opportunities to be able to share the good news of you with their friends. So Lord, we just pray these things in the name of Jesus, knowing that you hear our prayers. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Jamie and Claire. Oh, What do I? Who? What? Anyway, Jamie and Claire need to leave after lunch. Where do you think you're going? Sorry, you need to stay here. No, this is the point where we get to embarrass you because we want to say thank you to you. Come to the front. Yeah. We are very, very grateful. Thank you. It takes an awful lot of prayer and effort and work to put together something like this, and we don't take it for granted. Thank you very, 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 very much. It's been wonderful having you here and really lovely to have a Brummy and to, yeah, it's been wonderful. We've got some things for you. We're conscious that you're on a train, so we will... You need to share them with your wife because we're also very grateful that she's kind of donated you for the weekend and gone without you there. And also, somebody has the envelope. It got lost in transit.
So open it now.
Ooh. Yeah. Thank you very, very much. And people over dinner time, just take the chance to say thank you. And also let them know what's really encouraged you in what they've shared. And what you've learnt from this weekend, because it would be good for them to hear that all of their hard work was not wasted. So, shall we say a massive thank you and give them a big, big, big clap? It's all right. And we hope we see you again soon. Well, at lunch, yeah. What time is it? Is it lunch? Yeah, it is lunch. Ooh! Roast dinner, people.